Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
We're going to jump into the Word of God. And if you want a title for today, I've just called it Pray and Tell. Pray and Tell. Okay. So, I've been reading through the New Testament letters. One of Pastor Collins' favorites. He kind of personalizes the scriptures, so he's done it with the letters of the New Testament. I recommend it to you. If you can get hold of a copy of that, it's really good. It just kind of talks direct to us, saying my child and that type of thing. So I recommend that to you. It is very good reading. But as I was reading through, I was struck how many times that Paul, who's one of the great apostles, wrote about one third of the New Testament. He often puts in a prayer request. He said, pray for me too. I thought, how interesting that the greatest post-Jesus apostle would actually say to people, pray for me. So, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. You should be able to follow along. Thank you, Angus. Super duper. So, that's where we're at. Colossians 4, 2-6. Here we go. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So when you devote yourself to something, there's it denotes, doesn't it? You give yourself to it. You know, that's something that you got to give yourself to. There's a bit of effort. All right, so devote yourself to it. It's like when you devote yourself to a person who you want to marry. You know, that's it. You're setting yourself apart for that person. Yeah. All right, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have a right response for everybody. So that's telling us, basically, we don't go in all guns blazing, telling everybody that they're going to hell unless they repent, turn or burn and all that type of thing, all right? We've got to be gracious in what we say. We've got to be attractive. Look at you. What an attractive bunch of people you are, you know? You need to be attractive to people that don't know Jesus. So they kind of look at you and think, something about you. I like it. Tell me what it is, you know? And you can open up and you can tell them what it is about Jesus that has changed your life and made you such a lush person to be with. Okay, we're going to look in Ephesians now. And it's pretty much a mirror. So he's already asked one city to pray for him, this great apostle. And now he's asking another city to pray for him. So 19 through to 20. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. You know, sometimes you might be of the shy disposition. Paul, when he was writing some of his letters, he said, I might seem timid to some of you guys. You know, sometimes we might be timid people. You know, we might, but don't hold that as an excuse. You know, we can pray to God for boldness, and the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. You ask for it, you're going to get it. All right, so be specific in your prayers. Paul's very specific about what he's asking for here. Let's assume then that, like I said, the most successful post-Christ apostle knew a thing or two, and he learned some stuff about prayer. You know, that prayer is powerful, not just personal prayer, other people's prayers as well. There's power and agreement in prayer, is there not? Why do we pray? We could go on forever about that one, couldn't we? But I'm just going to pick out a couple of things and see where we go. One simple aspect of prayer. We can't achieve anything of eternal value without God getting involved. You know, that's why we pray. It's basically a form of worship. We're saying, God, I can't do it. You need to do it. God, I need your help. It's confessing that, you know, any gifting that we've got, it's really not going to cut the mustard. You know, we need God to get in on the job. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Without God, we are stuck. So there was Paul, super Christian if ever there was one. But on numerous occasions, he's saying, pray for me. Ask the Father to help me explain to people that they need Jesus. They were meant for Jesus, and they are missing out on life if they don't have Jesus. Didn't matter that Paul had been visited by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, knocked to the floor by him. It didn't matter that he'd been set aside for God by apostles and had hands laid on him and all that. He was still saying, pray for me, pray for me. I like it. It's good to ask for prayer, guys. You know, don't be afraid to ask for prayer from one another. We're a body. We need to be asking one another, hey, pray for me in this situation. I'm often sending out text messages to folks. Pray for this, pray for that. Do it. I encourage you to do it. All right. Right. So there he was. The boy was in jail. And what was he praying for? What was the request that he was asking for? Was he praying that the rats would be just that little bit smaller? Or was he praying for a new chef because really the meals weren't that great where he was in jail? No, he was not. What was his request? It was that he would have the right words and he would boldly speak those right words about Jesus. You know, that was the very thing that had gotten banged up in the first place. Speaking for Jesus, speaking about Jesus. He just couldn't stop, you know. Speaking for Jesus. And that was the thing that had ended up getting him put in jail. Eventually, he lost his life because of it as well. But that didn't stop him either. Jesus had clearly shown him. He said, Paul, you're going to suffer for me. And he was glad to do so. He'd realized that he'd gone totally the wrong way. He'd killed Christians in the past. You know, he was a bit of a bad lad, shall we say. He was religious, very religious guy. Thought he knew God, thought he was doing God's will. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turned up and showed him, Paul, you've been going in totally the wrong way. Now I'm calling you to serve me and turn around in the right way. And yes, you're going to suffer for it, but there's going to be an eternal reward for you. And like I say, that was the guy who'd written about one third of the New Testament and turned out to be an amazing apostle for Jesus. Awesome, huh? So, not everybody's going to like our message, but hey, keep going anyway. I'm sure you spoke to people about Jesus and they've just kind of laughed at you, maybe looked at you like you were some kind of freak, or maybe it's even caused a bit of a reaction when you've talked to people, telling them that, do you know something? Unless you know Jesus, there's no place for you in heaven. That's not a very popular message, is it? Supposed to be all-inclusive, aren't we? You know, what you're saying, that Jesus is the only way? Surely not. You know, all roads lead to heaven, don't they? No, they don't. One person said, yes, all roads lead to heaven, but it depends how long you want to stay there. We're all going to face God, okay, one day, and give an account for our lives. And none of us is going to be able to say, yeah, we were good enough to get there on our own. We all need Jesus. All right. So I was speaking with one of my customers that I was working in Stoke Golden. We was just chatting. Really good customer because she bought cream cakes. And so I had to partake because it would have been rude not to. So there's another chap and me who was sat and stuffing our faces with a nice cream slice. A nice cream donut with a bit of jam on the bottom. Tell you what. Not good for the stomach, but anyway, she was just chatting away. She said, "Oh, I just had, you know, I had a depression come upon me suddenly. It was like a fear of death. I just got this realization that one day I'm going to die, you know, and that's true. You know, that's a good call. Everybody should be afraid of that. It's the truth. Every single one of us, one day we're going to die." Well, I just jumped right in there. So I don't know how people live without Jesus. You know, for me, when I die, it's just I'm going from one life to even greater life. You know, when you get an opportunity like that, you just got to jump in, haven't you? So we just chatted a little bit more about Jesus and the difference that Jesus makes in your life. And she said, oh, yeah, I guess these fears, they started when I lost my faith. And I thought, duh, we'll get it back then. You know, I didn't say that because I'm, you know, I was being gracious. And I was being, you know, I was being gracious and I was being kind and those type of things. Being attractive. Yeah, in my speech when I was talking. But, you know, we just kind of talked around these things. I said, yeah, you know, it all started when I lost my faith. She's saying she doesn't want to fly now because she's afraid of what might happen to her, etc. And interesting, isn't it? You know, oh, that the whole world would feel that way and get that realization of their own mortality and that Jesus is the answer to those fears, from life to even more life. Eventually, she went out and she sat in her car. Couldn't stand the heat anymore, I'm supposing. I don't know what it was, but it could have been worse. She could have asked me to leave. But, yeah, she just kind of went and sat in her car. So there was a reaction, which was still very friendly. You know, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't really kind of knocking it that hard. But, you know, you get a reaction. It's better to get a reaction than nothing at all. Yeah? Make people think. Make people think. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Make people think about their own mortality. Make people think about eternity, because God has put a conscience in every single person. God has set eternity in the hearts of all men. So Paul knew he was going to suffer because Jesus had told him. But he was more concerned with God's acceptance than people's, and so should we be. Yeah? We're on enemy turf until Jesus comes back to take what is his, as in the world. All right? We're on enemy turf. There's dark spiritual forces have dominion over people's minds, and it blinds them to the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world and he loves everybody, okay? But prayer and God's Spirit in you can break through all of that darkness, can break through every lie of the enemy, and that is the thing that, guys, that we've got to be doing, relying upon God. God, will you move? You know, we was doing a bit of that this morning in the prayer meeting before we all met together. Move and break through into people's lives. Bring your salvation into people's lives. I remember chatting with one of the lads who used to come to Youth Cafe, as it was, in days past. And he said, ah, yeah, my mum said, don't let them get you, as in, don't let the Bible bashers get to you. Don't let them get into your head, you know. In other words, she was saying, you know, don't let Jesus save you from a lost eternity. In reality, do you know what I mean? We're on enemy territory. People think we're a bit bonkers, but we're not. We're the sanest people in the world. Believe that. It's the truth. All right. Paul asked for prayer because the devil has got no defense against it. No defense against it at all. God responds to his children like a loving father, okay? You guys, you've got kids that you love. They ask you for something. You want to do your best to give it to them, don't you? Yeah? And God is like that with us. And hey, you know, he's never short of money. He's never short of the thing that we need. I'm not talking about money, of course, you know, answers to prayer. God loves to give to us because he's a loving heavenly father. Prayer, it's our invisible weapon, all right? Like I say, make your mobile holy. Send out prayer requests to different people. Pray for me in this situation. I've got to speak to someone about such and such, you know. Or I'm going to have a meeting with so-and-so after work. We're going to talk about God because he's interested in coming to church. Pray for me, pray for me. Do that, and we will, I'm sure. Do people do that already? Yeah. Cool. All right, be telling people about Jesus. That's what we should be about. Should be imperative to us. Right, have you ever asked yourself the question, why does God need us to tell people about Jesus? Why can't he just do it himself? I don't know the answer to that one, actually. It's a mystery, the Bible says. It's a mystery. You know, there is a certain way in which you could say, well, God did do it himself. He sent Jesus, didn't he? Jesus came down full of grace and mercy, the Bible tells us. And he came and he showed people what God was like. He demonstrated God's love. And he gave himself so that we might all be saved. So he was powerful in deed and in word. He spoke, he preached, and he came to save. Maybe he just likes to play tag. Or TIG, depending on where you are coming from in the country. Said, you're it. Now it's your turn to go and tell other people. I'm being a bit daft when I'm saying that, right? But he does pass on a baton to us to say, right, you are now filled with the Spirit. I've been filled with the Spirit. I've gone to heaven. I've sent the Spirit to you. You're filled with the Spirit now. Now it's your turn to go and tell people what God has done in your life by the power of the Spirit that lives inside of you. The other thing, like I say, it is a mystery how it all works, why you would do it. But another thing that we know that God likes to do is to display his power through weak vessels. So there you are, guys. You're all sat there. God couldn't find anything weaker. He chose you guys. Yeah, he's filled you with his Spirit. And now he's saying to you guys, go out and tell people, show them what God has done through your life. Isn't that good? God chose little David to kill 9-foot-tall Goliath. Okay, so thankfully, God's not looking for talent, just people that are going to be bold enough to speak for him and smart enough to ask God for help. Because when we do, he answers. We've got to know that, we can't do it on our own. We haven't got enough wisdom to convince people that they need Jesus. It's got to be God involved in it, you know. It's got to be the Father that draws people to himself. Jesus did 0 miracles and preached 0 sermons until the Spirit had come upon him at the age of about 30. Think about that, okay? No Spirit, no miracles, and it's going to be the same for us. We need to be a people that are full of God's Spirit. A good prayer. Father, help Steve speak for you today and every day. You want to pray for me? Yeah, please do. You know, pray for me as I go out here and there. Pray for others around about you as well. You know, just when you're in your prayer times, be open to God. Say, God, Lisa's just coming to mind. I've got to pray for Lisa. God, you're going to help Lisa today to be able to speak to her mates wherever she is, whatever she's doing, you know. God can do that. He can drop people into your mind and pray for them. You know what? And God loves to answer that kind of prayer. It would be my pleasure. That's why I've sent the Holy Spirit, so that you could be witnesses. Read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Power to be a witness. So pray for one another, church. The mysterious plan of God. You know, the good news is for Jews and Gentiles. In other words, everybody on the face of the earth. Yeah, it's a mystery. It's a mystery how it is spread from Israel, isn't it? You know, just people telling other people about Jesus. It's spread from Israel. It's gone all throughout the Middle East. Gone into Africa, it's come over to Europe, it's gone over to America. So this stuff works, guys. You know, us people sitting here on a Sunday morning in Elohim Church is proof that God's mysterious plan works. Yeah? God knows what he's doing when he puts his message inside of simple human beings. Fantastic. It's over there in the Far East as well, Korea, China. God is breaking out all over the place. I heard some good stories about stuff that's actually happening in Leicester. There were some Afghan refugees, went along to a church, got saved, and there was one who had a sister who's still in Afghanistan. She had a dream, said, ring your brother. So in the dream, I don't know whether it was God or an angel or whatever appeared to her, and said, ring your brother and ask him about what's happened to him. So she rang her brother. I got this dream, said to ring you. I'm ringing you now. What's it all about? He said, well, I've become a Christian. And he led her to Christ on the telephone. All right? And it's funny, even though God speaks to people, he gives them dreams, he always seems to send them to someone else to be able to preach the gospel to them. We can see that in the Acts of the Apostles when an angel was sent to Cornelius and says, I want you to send for Peter. Why didn't the angel just tell him? I don't know. God's just given it to us, you know, he's given it to people who are filled with the Spirit to tell other people. They say, look, God changed my life. He can change your life too. You know, and they might think, oh, he's going to turn me into an angel. But no, God uses people. Yeah? So Peter preached to Cornelius. He and his whole household all became Christians, got filled with the Spirit. Oh, they had a glorious time. Okay. Somehow we are conduits for God's power. His treasure is within us. You see, I can understand this because I'm an electrician. I go around putting cables in people's houses, you know, and they're pretty useless. But when you start to put an electric current through them, amazing things can happen. You can cook, or Sharon can cook, she's really good. You can get yourself clean. With the power of electricity, you can put all kinds of pretty lights all over the place, and you can see what you're doing because of the power is running through these pretty useless things called cables. But when you put the power through them, amazing things become available to us. Entertainment, whatever. You know, it's amazing what you can do with electricity. And the point I'm making is God has chosen us to be his conduit. Yeah, we're pretty useless, but when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we become amazing. Yeah, we become amazing, and God can use us to transform people's lives. That's what we're here to do. Yeah, we've got this power that is available to us. And okay, so I'm starting to think, is there anything that can hinder the flow of God? The flow of God inside of us. Keep saying us, and he's absolutely right. I went to a recent job. I was called out. It said, the fella said, every time I put my shower on, the lights go dim. I thought, this one could be interesting. This is a mystery, this one. This is a mystery. So turned up, checked his power out, 235 volts, which is fine. You can get that at 220, no problem. You can still run everything in your house. So 235 volts. And I thought, what's he done here? Has he tagged the lights into the shower? What's going on? So got my turn of shower on, tested at the mains again, drops down to 197 volts. That's not good. That's why his lights were dimming, because the voltage was dropping down. I thought, what is going on here? So checked it all out. He'd had his house fed in a 6 mil armored cable from the power source was about 75 meters away. And so it was only a 6 mil cable coming. It should have been at least 16, guys. 16 mil sort of power can flow properly into the house. I might be losing here. But anyway, when you turn the shower on, the cable couldn't take it. So there was a voltage drop and his lights started to go down dim. All right. So there was a big resistance to the power that was trying to be used inside of his house. Can you see where I'm going? All right. Nothing resists God's power flow in our life like sin, or what the Bible may say, evil deeds. So it's ouch time, guys. It's ouch time. Are we ready? We're going to go to 1 Peter 3, verse 12. I've been reading the book of Peter as of late. Great book, encouraging, but challenging as well. And he's quoting a psalm here. And in verse 12, it says, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers." Hey, that's good, isn't it? Isn't that a blessing? And how about this? "But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil." You don't want that, guys. You don't want God's face turned against you. All right? You want his radiant smile shining upon you. It's the opposite. Okay. We do the gospel harm when we try to kid ourselves that we can live opposite to what God has shown and think that God doesn't mind. You know? God never winks at sin. All right, if we've got things that are going on in our lives that really we know the Bible says shouldn't be going on, we do need to deal with it, guys. Because otherwise, our prayer life is going to be hindered and there's going to be that resistance to the flow of God, the power of God inside of us. So I've written down here, maturity isn't knowing the Bible inside out and getting fat on deep teaching. It's putting into practice what you've learned and not kidding yourself when God shows you something that you're not living up to. Okay? And putting your hands up and saying, "Okay, God. Okay, Father, it's a fair cop. Help me to change my life so I can get in line with what you want for my life." And then the power flows. And yeah, the lights are on. People can see your light. You can be used for God awesomely. See, chances are you know that prayer works, yeah? Chances are you know that God wants to move through you by his Spirit. The question is, are you doing it? Okay? Are we putting it into practice? Like I say, I've been reading through Peter. Some of it's encouraging, some of it stings. Some stuff like, "Do not retaliate," or "Do not speak bad of anyone." When you look at yourself in the mirror of God's word, you've got to think, okay, sometimes I say bad things about people, God. I need to stop doing that. Forgive me, Father. Yeah, and when we do that, then, like I say, he turns the power back on and he can use you more and more effectively. Why was it that Jesus was so powerful in the Spirit? Well, he never sinned, did he? You know, there was never any resistance to the power of the Spirit moving and flowing through Jesus, because he lived a life that was without sin. Yeah, and thankfully, he has opened up the way for us so that we can get rid of our sin as well. Now, it's not that we're never going to sin. You know, we all sin, the Bible says. If anybody says he is without sin, he fools himself. All right? So there's no fools in here, I'm sure. We all know that, from time to time we slip up. But hey, if we can deal with it, if we can repent, ask God to forgive us for the wrong things that we've done, hey, then the power flows through us again. Yeah? And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what people need, guys. If we're going to bear fruit, people need us to be full of power and flowing in the power of God. Okay, so we can't afford to let sin trip us up. The Bible says, throw off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. You can find that in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Even Paul, he admitted, hey, I'm not everything that I should be, but I'm pressing on towards the goal that Christ has called me heavenward for. Okay, evil deeds are for those without the light. But guys, we've got the light. We've got no excuse. Let's not excuse things and say, well, it's all right for me. God doesn't mind me doing such and such, when we know full well that he does, yeah? Let's not kid ourselves. It's not good. Right. Whilst we're in Peter, there's one specific hindrance that we can talk about. So I'm addressing husbands here. So if you're not a husband, you can go to sleep for a little bit. No, don't. No. You can listen anyway, because, you know, if you're a wife, you can say, husband, did you hear what Stephen said this morning? Sharon, you don't have to listen to this bit, though, if you don't want to. It's all right. Right. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding. All the wives are saying amen now. I like it. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Pretty specific, isn't it? That's a challenge, isn't it, fellas? You know, that's why marriage is for life, you know, because it takes that long for a fella to understand his woman. The Lord has made you mysterious, ladies. Very mysterious. All right, guys, no one said this Jesus stuff was easy. All right, so we need to get and understand. However, sometimes we just got to understand that women are not understandable. Do you know what I mean? Speak for myself. I'm only joking. You know, it's a bit of kidding. You're complicated. Ladies, come on, you don't even understand one another. I'm sure you don't.
We do.
What, better than us, maybe. Better than us. All right. Bit of fun. All right, I mean, us fellas, we're pretty simple, really. All we need is feeding and physical affection. All right, I was going to say two Fs, feed me and feel me, but, you know, I'm not going to say, because it's church, we're not going to say that. All right, so God brought each of the animals to Adam. He said, Adam, what you call this one? What you call it? And then finally said, nah, this is a bit too easy. This is a bit too easy. Here's Eve, Adam. See if you can work her out. See you later. All right. But you ladies, you got to admit, sometimes you have a job of it as well, you know. Your man, he can be so annoying sometimes, can't he? Oh, so frustrating. You're only saying that because Steve's not here, Faye. All right. Ooh. Actually, yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah, I can just imagine it. But hey, guys, let me tell you, it's going to be 10 times easier when God is in the middle, yeah? When we've got God in that relationship, all right? God requires that we honor one another. It's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing. And hey, anyone who's single here, you're valuable to God as well, you know? Paul, he wrote, so, like I said, so much of the New Testament. He was a single man. He said, hey, you're better off when you're single. Remember, Jesus was single as well. There's nobody who's second rate in the kingdom of God. So never think that that's the case, because it's not. All right, let's get back to the prayer thing before it gets too ridiculous. All right. There are too many evils that we could talk about that would be a hindrance to prayer, to mention them all. But hey, like I say, maturity is responding to the Holy Spirit's nudge. You know, sometimes when you're doing something that's a bit too off the mark, the Holy Spirit gives you a dig in the ribs. You know? Okay, Lord. I hear what you're saying. You know, we've got to respond to the conviction of God. Otherwise, when he starts to prod us, we just don't feel it anymore. We can go colder and colder, and we become someone who God's power can't flow through anymore. You know, we see it so often, don't we? When people, we call it backslide, they turn away from God. They lose their faith. Like that lady was saying, yeah, it all started when I lost my faith. It must have been something, you know, when the Holy Spirit was speaking to her where she wasn't listening anymore, and she went cold to God, and now she has no faith to talk of. And it's a sad thing. You know, we need to listen, and we need to be sensitive when the Holy Spirit is convicting us so that we can keep the power on, because the people who don't know God need us to keep the power on, yeah? The power of God. God flowing through us. Okay, so evil can look like gossip. It can look like slander. It can look like rebellion or unforgiveness. Hey, if you've got unforgiveness in your life, God says he won't answer your prayers. That's a tough one, that, isn't it? You know, we need to be people that have sensitive hearts, people that are prepared to forgive, because God has forgiven us so much, he expects us to forgive as well. You know, there comes out reaping and sowing. Look, I have forgiven you. Even though you were destined for hell, even though you rebelled against me and turned against my way, I've forgiven you. So I expect you to be able to forgive others. It's a tough message, that one, isn't it? All right, let's not have critical spirits or anything else that is going to stop the flow of God moving through us. And like I say, we need his face, not against us, but to be shining upon us, yeah? Right, you know, sometimes I admit it, I find it hard to say sorry, you know? But it's a good lesson to learn. If you could say sorry, first of all, to God, and then to the offended party, hey, the more you do it, the easier it gets. Yeah? Sorry is a small little word, isn't it? You know? And we should be like that, not only in our relationships, but where we are at work, when we're at church, you know? Say sorry. Don't be afraid to say sorry. It keeps the love on, as one famous Christian would say. And yeah, it keeps God's power at work in our lives. Right, so it's our goal, it's our vision to multiply, to double in size. We're going to be starting up a second service soon. So yeah, we want to see more and more people coming into church, believing in Jesus. And it's not going to happen if we don't pray and speak. So this isn't something like a bolt-on extra. We've got to be doing that. But we're not going to be able to do it with hindered prayers, guys. All right? So, do be praying without ceasing. Pray for one another. Invite and witness to people. Then the Father's going to get involved and miracles are going to happen. Do we believe that? Yep. Okay, let's make sure that we shake off anything that hinders. Any sin. And then we get the smile of God upon us, and he will use us powerfully. That's his intention for us, you know, that he uses us powerfully. All this stuff we read, it's not a fiction, it's reality, you know. And when God changes the season, bang, wonderful things happen. All right, so a person with God's smile is powerful, but a united church with God's smile is unstoppable. Believe that. Yeah, for there God commands his blessing. Okay, this stuff we've been talking about this morning, it's not an optional extra. All right? If we're going to see growth, we're not just going to get lucky. It's going to happen through answers to prayer. It's going to happen when we as a people dedicate ourselves to praying without ceasing, and we'll see God move in power. Okay, we've got to keep on speaking the right words to people. Even if it lands you in jail, which is unlikely in this country, although it gets some people in trouble. Yeah? But yeah, let's keep on speaking that message to people of no religion, people of a different religion, people who think they have religion but haven't really. All right, keep on speaking about Jesus to anybody and to everybody without fear. Okay, be God's power conduit like you're created to be. And we got to know that if God doesn't move, we're sunk, yeah? We're constantly relying on God. Like Paul was, pray for me. You know, let's be like that. We're going to finish off in James chapter 5. And I was in this in the prayer meeting this morning. Verse 13 to 18. And this just explains the power that there is in prayer. Are there any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and to pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of our Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There we are. We can see it all. It's commands to us. Pray for each other. And this is the bit where it starts to really hot up, guys. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. What kind of power?
Great.
And produces wonderful results. What kind of results?
Wonderful.
Okay. Elijah was a human, as we are. I'm looking out. It's everybody in here is a human being, I believe. Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Angus. All right. We're all human. All right. So we qualify. Elijah was a human, as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. And, you know, that really spoke to me at the end there. The earth began to yield its crops, that Barlston has within it a crop of souls that are ready to be yielded for God. And we really do need to be continually, earnestly praying until God answers, until we see that crack in the sky, until the atmosphere above us changes and people start to say, you know, what must I do to be saved? Just like they did way back there in the beginning. What must I do to be saved? And then we speak to them about Jesus. We tell them about Jesus. And the change comes and people start to come in and people start to respond to the gospel that we're speaking. We need God to do it. You know, we can't be convincing enough. None of us can be that qualified that we can do that. We need God's Spirit to be moving through us. We're just conduits, guys. Hey, I'm happy to be a conduit for God. It is absolutely fantastic. When God uses you to see somebody come into the kingdom of God, I tell you, there's no better feeling. No better feeling in the world. Okay, so that needs to be your ambition, guys. Who can I lead to God? You know, God wants to use every single one of us. It's not just for Pastor Shane. It's not just for me or other people who speak. It's for every single one of us, for every believer. God wants us to bear fruit. And, yeah, I just want to say, you know, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you think, well, I understand a little bit about Jesus, you know. I understand that he lived a long time ago and that these Christians here call him Lord. I want to say he does want to be your Lord. He does want to be your Savior. He died for you. You know, when we often have an empty cross on the wall because he's not there anymore. He is now alive. God has raised him from the dead so that he can put his life into us. And that's what it's all about. Basically, we're saying, Jesus, I've made a mess of my life. And if we're honest, all of us have gone astray from God. And we've got to be honest enough to say, I've sinned. I've done things wrong. And that is enough to disqualify you from getting to heaven. That's why Jesus came, and he became sin for us. It's the only time God ever turned his face away from Jesus was when he became sin for us. You see, God can't look on sin, you know. But Jesus died for us. He became sin for us so that we could say, Jesus, I thank you for dying in my place. Now I ask you to forgive me, and he will. And he gives us new life. So if you want to know what it is to become a Christian, don't leave this building without finding out what it is to be a Christian, okay? Somebody can tell you. Somebody can pray with you, and you can find out what this new life is all about. So I'm just going to finish with praying, actually, guys. I think it would be good if we did that. You know, we can pray just briefly. You know, you can see people, let God drop people into your mind. Say, oh, yeah, I want to pray for Paul when he goes out, that he's going to be able to witness to people. He's going to have the power of God moving in him. You know, if Paul can ask for prayer for from others, we can as well. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. But this Paul as well, I was talking about this Paul, and then I went on to the Apostle Paul. So. Anyway, all right, so we're going to pray.